just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Are you ready to get not so scary, Ryan?
Well, what have we here?
The scary times afoot, apparently.
It's what we do. It's right? October.
Completely right.
I'm going to be popping out of cabinets trying to scare you all month.
And as luck would have it, Disney's already been having their Halloween parties for, I think, 6 weeks.
They've
already
been battering us with Halloween parties since, July.
It's usually mid-August. Usually about August 12th is when they first release them. And then they grow bigger and bigger and closer and more up to Halloween.
Right.
So,
and again, you can't blame people for enjoying Halloween. It's a fun time of year. Usually means cooler temperatures, not so much this year. But people love it, and they love the Halloween parties. Which,
you know, that's right.
On the plus side, since we're not able to get to the Halloween parties, especially the ones in California right now, everyone films everything, so we can talk to you about what's going on in the Halloween parties.
Oh, I love it. I tell you what, YouTube and Disney, it is a magical experience. The fact that you can watch things on a daily basis and be completely as if you were there. A, you don't have to spend the money. B, you're completely air-conditioned. C, you can find your own snacks at home. It's great.
Geez.
Oh, it's so good. But this year, it was really interesting. Like, they decided that with all that's going on at Disneyland, they've decided that Mickey's Not So Scary over at that park is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's completely not there, right?
They have decorations and stuff, and I do believe they're still doing overlays at Disneyland. But the entirety of the parties, I believe, have moved to California Adventure.
The parties themselves are moved.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a big that's a big change from the years past, right?
It is.
We've had Mickey's Not So Scary for a long time now.
I think what it is they have a little bit more freedom in California Adventure to really overhaul things to make them different for Halloween.
Oh, and they sure did.
You think about, like, Cars Land. It gets a complete makeover for Halloween. It's an entire land that is full of Halloween. And they project onto buildings, and they do all sorts of things to really change the whole park to more of a Halloween park in general.
Well, because this year, I think we've talked about it already, but now that it's officially here, Oogie Boogie Bash is what is at California's Adventure.
Yes.
And that's a brand new party, essentially.
Yeah.
They've given us a whole lot of new stuff that we haven't had in the past, but a whole lot of the same. But a whole lot of what's new, right?
Well, and like what's great about it is, first of all, Oogie is one of my favorite characters.
Completely.
So I'm a big fan. When you even just walk up to the gate, they have a massive Oogie Boogie over the gates with all the bats flying out, and he's randomly yelling things at you as you're standing there.
Because who doesn't love to be yelled at by Oogie Boogie?
Right?
We all love it.
And the Halloween just takes over the park in a way that I don't think even Disneyland has ever done.
It's been, they've upped their game. They've upped their Halloween game a lot.
Yeah, which is great because it justifies people paying extra to get into these parties to have something worth getting into, in my opinion.
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about my most exciting part of the overlay is that Redwood Village?
Oh, the Redwood Trail.
Yeah.
Yes. It is more like what I think Disney should be doing on a regular basis than things that they've done in the past.
Yeah.
It's the ambiance and the presence of that is so impressive.
Yeah, because
without there being characters running all over it.
Oh, right.
Which is
That's a good
great
point.
For me because I hate characters. I know I'm one of the few that do, but dang, I hate characters. So the idea that they have an entire Halloween attraction without characters bombarding you is, ideal for me.
It's really a unique perspective to do things. It's completely immersive. And yeah, like you said, it's, I don't even know what the point of it is, and the fact that there are no characters. And I don't think they even give you candy at the end, do they? They might give you a piece of candy at the end.
I think it might be a treat trail. I can't remember. But the concept that I heard was that you're basically going through a wooded area, and you are surrounded by evidence of Disney villains without like actually being confronted by the Disney villains. You're kind of going through a Spotify playlist sort of visual thing for each villain.
Oh, this is so our thing. This right? is our jam.
So we like this stuff. For instance, you can walk into an area that's themed to the Queen of Hearts, right? And it's red, and there are cards around, and you can see the Cheshire Cat floating around. Like, without there being a face character walking through the crowd, you feel like the Queen of Hearts is there. And they have audio, and they have fog, and they have lighting, and they... Just the whole thing seems so cool to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely awesome. So it's by far, like, I could do that thing 4 or 5 times in a night. I would, and it's covered in fog that we...
Oh, it's so... And as much as I hate this normally, it's so Instagrammable. Like, the videos that we saw, you can't get a bad shot because there's so many cool things going on.
Yeah.
And it's so artistically done that it just holds so much...
It's
cool
great
stuff, and like, it's so cool.
It is absolutely fantastic. And there are a lot of characters still in the party. There's, and they're all those like fierce evil ones, right?
They're all, yeah, they're all the bad ones.
Oh, and they're so like, the way that they're so stiff and their makeup is so amazing. Oh, just, I love it.
You're talking about like the evil queen from Snow White,
right?
The way she has like ridiculously perfect posture, and she's so like dark glam looking,
right?
It's, she's just super cool.
And to see face characters like that, whenever they're, I don't know what it is about those kinds of characters that I just lose my mind for, but it's that's what, like all the ones that are in fuzzy costumes and stuff, you're like, oh, anybody can put on a costume and pull it off. Sure. But they feel like actual actors to me. And so you're just like, get a girl. I just love them so much. It's probably the same reason I like Mary Poppins when we see her in the parks.
True. Or Tiana.
Mm-hmm. Completely that.
The thing,
and Maleficent too, right? We see her at this Oogie Boogie Bash.
I believe she's around. I don't recall seeing it on the video. But the thing that I like about the characters in California is that they're part of the treat trails.
Right.
But they're not... how's to put it? They're not really like come up and take a selfie with me type of interactions. They're kind of in the middle of the line, like elevated, and they kind of talk to people and you can take pictures of them and things like that. But that means everybody gets to see the characters without waiting in line for 7 hours.
Right.
If you want to. And you're also doing the candy trail at the same time. So the kids don't have to miss out on getting candy. If your parents want to take pictures of you with Dr. Facilier, for example, you go through the treat trail and he's in there talking to people, doing his thing.
So cool.
And you get to see him and interact, and then you get candy and you get to move on to the next treat trail, which I think works so much better.
Right.
Because all of the reviews that I've ever read about going to the Halloween parties is... plan on spending at least half your time standing in line waiting to meet the characters.
Right.
And I'm like, that sounds miserable.
Right. It does sound miserable, but it's almost like they're putting on mini little performances for you as well the entire time.
Little improv scenes with you.
Yeah. At all times. And so it's very interactive. They're probably mic'd because we hear the audio really well whenever you're around them.
That's true.
So they're probably mic'd, which makes it fantastic. Their stages are just, they're elevated enough that you can see what's happening. They're well lit. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It all works out perfectly.
Especially Oogie Boogie's room.
Oh, he's
like, so cool. It's incredible. I absolutely love that room. That room is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's at the Art of Animation building, right? I think is what they call that building.
I believe so.
And it's where we go drawing.
Yeah.
If you've ever drawn at Disney.
You've been in the room. You know what we're talking about.
Where it's surrounded with the projection screens all over the place. And it's completely taken over by Oogie. And he has his own stage out in the middle of the room, or over to the side, I guess it more is. But they have Oogie specific projections the whole time you're in there.
Right.
How much
and it's,
fun.
It's a cool character, as much as I dislike them. He's a cool character because he's one of the articulated ones whose mouth moves.
Oh, okay.
Which is always impressive, you know, yeah. when they can bring just that much more life to the characters.
Especially because he's just made out of cloth and bugs.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, yeah. Oogie's just a bunch of bugs in a burlap sack. So, yeah, I think the character interactions are more on par with what I'd be comfortable with personally, and I think it works out better for everybody in the long...
It feels more organic, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just more convenient. You know, sure. You want to see characters? Great. You want to get candy? Great. Two birds, one stone.
Right, and I like characters. They're cute enough and whatnot, you know, and it's absolutely amazing for little kids, you know. But for me, you're just kind of like, just a person.
Well, you're almost thrown into an improv scene with them.
Yeah.
When you go in, and the scariest experience that we've ever had at Disney was when we were mistakenly standing in line to meet Ariel, and I almost died. But you're instantly thrown into an improv scene with a random person who's right. in character, but you're you, so you have to try to...
It's what are you weird. Supposed to say? How's your dad?
Yeah. How the legs treating you?
Sister's good.
you get rid of your
sea legs. But she didn't have legs. She didn't have the legs when she met us.
Oh, was she still fishy when we met her?
She was fishy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that. I was so nervous. I couldn't remember
it. Yeah, that's what's great about her, because it was like, how great is your character? They like literally just like, they must carry you in and sit you down, and you right. just sit there the rest of the time. But
that's true. She's got the best part in the parade. Just sit there.
That's actually not true, though, because she has to flip that tail around all over the place.
Oh, that's true.
But wouldn't it be fun if in Oogie Boogie's room right now, they reopened up Ursula's Grotto below where you get to go? Oh,
they totally should.
They should totally open that up for the parties so that you'd have that to do. Because that'd be great. You know it's still there.
I don't know that people would take the time to do it, though. Like, it's difficult to get people to do those sort of things even on a regular day.
Uh-huh.
If you remember us going in, I think we were one of like four people in that room.
It was a really slow day that we went back, the one and only time we ever went back in there before they closed it.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to tell if it was busy or not. But yeah, I could see that people would walk right by it. But most right. people may not even know it was back there.
But if you had like a character in the room...
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had an Ursula character,
Ursula's Grotto
would be awesome.
Oh, stop! Don't even tease me. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I don't know how you'd do it, but it could be really cool.
She could also be on a stage with her costume and everything.
That's
and
true. They've had her on Broadway and stuff, so they have ways of making it work.
Heidi Blickenstaff.
Blickenstaff.
They're at Oogie Boogie's party.
That would be awesome.
That would be more than the ticket's worth. Like it would be. Do you know what I mean? Like it would. The ticket would have to be way more expensive to pay for that.
Sure. What I find interesting, too, about the Halloween parties being moved is that there are no ride overlays in California Adventure.
Mm.
They don't change anything as far as the attraction goes.
Right.
So I wonder how many rides are actually still open for the Halloween party.
Yeah, I thought you indicated that you thought that most of them were already closed.
I think they do. I think a lot of this, especially the smaller rides and maybe some of the bigger rides, close because the focus really isn't on the attractions.
It's possible we just didn't see it, but it didn't look like the California's Adventure is now the Incredicoaster. It didn't look like it was open necessarily.
No. But that also closes in the evening for World of Color anyway.
Yeah.
So
which also gets an overlay.
Oh.
Folks.
Steve, okay, we're so optimistic. Tuck in, because Steve's got something to say.
No, I'm in too good of a mood to talk about it tonight.
Okay.
But like
No, let's be positive about it for a second. The World of Color show gets an overlay called Villainous, and I love the concept. The concept is about a little girl trying to decide what she wants to be for Halloween, if she'd rather be a princess or a villain. And basically the end of the story is, you know what, if you want to have fun being a villain, be a villain, do it, be you, kind of thing, you know, which is not a thing that Disney tells people ever.
True.
Yeah. How often do they say, hey, do you want to be like the evil queen and poison your daughter? Great. You know, like, they never say that kind of stuff.
I had no idea I was given permission.
Right?
Oh, and thank goodness.
It's definitely the vibe that I think would persist in a Dark Kingdom park.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about quite a bit here on the podcast. We have a whole series on the different lands that we think would be in the Dark Kingdom.
So much fun.
And this really answers my question as to what would be the overall feeling in a villain heavy park.
Yeah.
And it really works
so well.
When you watch these videos of the Halloween parties, you go, no, this idea would really work. People love the villains. I mean, yeah. we heard people and villains pledging their allegiance to the evil queen.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Like, they love it.
Consistently. So,
which, yeah. And I guess for that reason, I'm okay then that the Halloween parties go on for 2.5 months, because it's really just a villain party anyway. True. And so you're like, okay, if you think of it from that aspect, absolutely.
It's almost a Dark Kingdom light right. sort of situation where they're like, this is what it would be like if we had a villain park.
But I tell you what, if they gave Soarin a Halloween overlay of sorts, oh it would be fan-freaking-tastic.
We've talked about this before. I don't know that you remember this, but I said what they should do is bring in the Sanderson sisters into Soarin and have them flying on their brooms with you. People would lose their mind.
People would lose their mind.
Have a really cool rendition of I Put a Spell on You as you fly over like Halloween Town and stuff.
I don't think we've talked about this before on the podcast.
Not on the podcast. I think you and I just...
Oh, it would be day to day. Good.
You think that we just do this on the podcast, but literally these are our conversations on a regular basis. But
and the rest of the stuff that's not allowed for public.
Yeah. But could you imagine how cool it would be to fly with the Sanderson sisters?
Wow.
And they've shown that they can switch it out by bringing back flying Soarin' over California for a couple of months this year.
Completely true.
So it can be done.
Be done.
The question is, would they? And apparently the answer is no.
We'll send him this podcast and see if we can get
Dear Disney, right? This is my 300th attempt to get you to hire me to give you ideas, you know.
Oh, that's great. They should totally buy that domain, just Dear Disney. And
Dear Disney, that would be a great domain to send things to, wouldn't it?
Oh, totally.
They also have a Halloween centric parade that people really like.
Yeah,
they of course start out with the Headless Horseman and then have all the villains.
And this is the same parade that we have over at Mickey's Not So Scary, right? It's basically the same parade.
Close.
With the shovels and the sparks right. and things.
From what I heard, it's a little bit shorter than the Mickey's Not So Scary parade. Oh, a little bit weird. More succinct.
Okay, that's fine.
Which is, you know, fine for me. I'm not...
I don't mind an edit, yeah.
Yeah. Cut down on the dead air between floats and things. I'm all for it. And people really seem to like it. Sure.
Completely.
I really hope so in the parade they have the grave diggers that have the shovels.
Uh-huh.
And people love them, obviously.
Yeah.
Because part of their shtick is that they drag their shovels along the ground and they shoot sparks.
Right.
Which is great. I just hope they show up better in real life than they do on film. Because when I see him on film, it's really underwhelming.
Right.
But then I've seen still shots of people taking like pictures of them, and they seem a lot more sparky.
And you mentioned that as well, that the parade is better lit because California Adventure is brighter. But we saw where it was in front of like Ariel, which is a really bright part of the park anyway.
Sure.
So who knows if that's really, if the rest of it's as bright as that. But I would imagine that there are a lot of lights at California Adventure, and the walkways are so much bigger
that
it feels like it would be perfect for parades over there.
I think that's the main complaint that I have about Florida, is how dark their parks get after dark.
Uh-huh.
Like, legitimately, two trips ago, we left one park and ran over to go to Animal Kingdom for the afternoon, and I wear glasses. And so when I need to wear sunglasses, I have prescription sunglasses so I can still see.
Uh-huh.
But my problem is that sometimes I forget I'm wearing my sunglasses and I will leave my regular glasses somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I left my regular glasses in the car, not realizing until we were in Animal Kingdom that I was like, I am wearing my sunglasses. and I don't know
and how people... And it was so dark on the way out.
I legitimately don't know how people wear sunglasses at night, because I was as good as... I might as well not have worn my glasses.
Right.
Because I was so visually impaired wandering around in that park. And like, literally, I was like, hand on your shoulder being like, don't let me run into anything.
And then in solidarity, I was going to wear my sunglasses so I know how it felt. And then we were just two blind people walking out of the park.
Blind leading the blind.
Oh, it was so bad. I almost walked off a bridge.
We rode Dinosaur with my sunglasses on. I'm like, honestly, things look more real with sunglasses on. It's much more impressive.
This is how they're now going to do 3D effects, is just give you sunglasses. Make
it so you can't see well at all instead of in 3D. Yeah.
That would totally work.
So
that would be fun.
One day, I'm sure we'll end up going to one of these parties and being able to have our own experience. But if you're like us and maybe not nearby one of the parks, or don't want to shell out the extra money because it is an extra ticketed event, which means you have to pay to get into it separately from your day in the park.
Yeah, they're having so many problems with the one down at Magic Kingdom this year. They're now offering a season pass.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, they're not selling as well this year down there.
It's too bad for them.
Mm, we'll talk about it.
Okay. But if you're in the same situation as us, lots of people vlog these. So if you want to see the experience without having to pay for it, you can always check out the vloggers and see all the cool stuff that they're doing in the parks. Yeah. And it also will give you a chance to see if it's something that maybe your kids would enjoy or not enjoy. Depending, I mean, they go really late, so I can't imagine kids are super into being there till midnight.
Yeah, I might put a link in this description, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what the kids are into.
The kids love a link. But we are going to discuss Villainous and World of Color coming up soon, and more creepy Halloween shows to come. Happy Halloween month, everybody. But it's like I always say, boo to you.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.